And welcome back to Cinema Vino.
Ahoy.
It is our latest installment of time travel movies. This is part
three.
Yeah, Hot Tub Time Machine.
Bamf.
We got Travis Budd.
Yahoy.
Sean Jordan.
Yahoy.
Taylor Owens.
Glizzy.
It's your boy.
Glizzy,
your
boy. The Glizzy Warriors.
Glizzy Adams over here. Yeah.
The Glizzy Gladiators.
Yeah.
Glizzy Nation.
They plump when you cook them.
Gliznish.
We are drinking Beso del Sol box wine. Again, something else that we can drink cold.
Very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is quite sweet. And much different than the other rosé that we had at a completely different time and place.
It's a much more orange
complexion.
It is a box wine, but I will say it a little artificial flavorings. Mm-hmm. It has a little, not in a terrible way.
It's not like a full-on Franzia.
No.
Sorry, but it's a little...
This could be a good pool day, like when you're wanting to just.
This would be great in a pool.
Well, it did say rosé sangria on it,
yeah.
So it's gonna be a little sweeter.
Yeah. I'll say this is a mixer.
Yeah,
this needs to be mixed with something else.
You know what? Mix this with like a scoop of like sherbet.
I throw some tequila in this motherfucker with a couple of ice
and some goddamn Sprite.
I'd top it off a little bit of Sprite.
I'd do a little cracky sack on this.
Or a 7-Up.
Yeah.
Or a Sierra
Mist. Sprite would be too sweet.
Fresca?
I need something bubbly, but then also the alcohol.
Yeah.
So would you just do like soda water maybe?
I could do that.
Maybe a little squirt of squirt.
I think if you mix this with soda water, a little bit of tequila, a little bit of lime.
Yeah.
I do that. I do a little gin and some fuzzy water. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a lot of things you can do with this.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Beso del Sol, it's a Spanish sangria. Sangria, for those who don't know, is going to be a wine, basically cocktail, I would say. It's like wine mixed with fruit and fruit juice.
Wine that's like seeped in fruit juice.
Yeah.
Like
you let it sit
be
for a long time.
Marinated,
yeah. It's for the children.
Yeah. Actually, this would be a damn good floater in a margarita.
Yeah.
It would be. Yeah,
like a margarita at a shot or more of this to taste. It'd be nice.
This is a 3-liter box of wine. Box wine has a bad reputation over the years as something cheap.
It's gotten better.
Oh, it has improved. Yeah. It has improved, and you got a lot more variety. It's not just Franzia anymore. It's
Peter Vella.
Yeah, it's not just the ultra cheap Gallo stuff. You know, it's like you get a lot more stuff, a lot more boutique-y type box wines.
When was the last time you had a Franzia?
It's been since I've had a bowl of Wolf Brand chili. I think I had them both together.
I think Travis knows, but at one point I did drink 3 liters of White Zinfandel.
I didn't want to bring that story
up. Oh, no. I mean,
2010?
I don't know, but I don't.
2009?
I know that I am legally not around. I can't be around a school or a church.
I think 2 years on either side of that event have just like been erased from time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it was like 06, 07, 08.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Because you were doing the bidet in the pool.
I don't like wearing a swimsuit, first of all. Mm-hmm. It's like very constrictive. But yeah, when that White Zinfandel hits, you got to do a cannonball whenever you can.
Yeah. A spread cheek cannonball. Like spread eagle cannonball is just a bidet.
Yeah. I remember I saw
especially
that.
Especially when there are no shorts involved.
I saw that through the window of the house we were at.
Well,
naked doing a cannonball in the pool.
Well, I mean, that's what people do.
Yeah.
Spread eagle cannonball.
With little to
no regard to your testicles and or scrotum. Taylor, like, I salute you, but I also cringe.
When you have 3 liters of White Zinfandel in your system, there is no pain. There's no caring about anything.
I mean, your gooch had never been cleaner. I know that for damn sure.
I also want to say that I did go to work that day, too.
He did.
Yep. That was not a smart decision.
Yep.
I remember
that. Did you wear pants to work?
Honestly, man, I don't know. And what's even worse is that was part of a local TV station.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I had to put on a show.
The news was a little off that day.
Something was off. I don't know what happened.
The evening news was just a smidge
off.
The
5, 6, and 10 were rough. Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, the waiting child sequence did not go well.
I mean, they found the kid in the whale, but no thanks to Taylor.
Yeah, no.
Do you think you could drink 3 liters of this?
No, absolutely, God, not.
No,
sweet.
I'm already having diabetes.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not bad. I just couldn't do this anymore.
It's too much. I could, like I said, if we mix this with something else, temper it now.
Like 3 fingers of water.
Honestly, you know what this needs?
3 fingers of something.
This needs an ice cube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or 7.
Uh huh.
Yeah. I'd make it into a cocktail. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mix it with some other stuff. I can handle it. But as is, just naked, it's a bit much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
been there.
But you naked is just right. Hot tub time machine.
I'd be naked in a hot tub. Oof. Too.
Talk about a movie that needs a mixer.
Yeah.
God
damn.
God, it needs a shot and a chaser. This movie needs a boiler maker.
God.
Mm-hmm. So this was released March 26, 2010. It was a different time.
I saw this in theaters.
I think I saw this in theaters too.
Y'all nasty.
Yeah.
Y'all nasty.
Y'all gross.
It was a different time.
I saw it for the first time ever the other day.
Did you?
I knew of it. I actually think I knew more about Hot Tub 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Than I did this one.
I might have seen that one.
I don't think I saw that one.
Yeah. That's a hard pass for me after seeing this one.
Did they call it Hot 2 Time Machine?
I think it was just called Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Part 2.
Yeah, yeah. Part 2.
Good Lord.
Tube Time Machine. Okay.
So this grossed $64 million against a $36 million budget.
Wow.
It
doubled.
Yeah.
But its budget.
They still spent $36 million on that film.
$36 million.
Christ on a crutch.
It was all in that last sequence, I guess.
It was just Chevy Chase.
That last sequence.
This was a modest hit with critics and audiences. It squeaks by on Rotten Tomatoes about 60-something percent, 63-64%.
Yeah.
How much did Crispin Glover get?
Yeah. About $30 million of that was for Crispin Glover and his wife.
Who are all the actors you have all written down? I know Rob Corddry, and that's about it.
John Cusack, yep. Rob Corddry, Craig Robinson, Clark Duke is the nephew.
Clark Duke.
Chevy Chase.
Yep.
As the...
Repairman.
Mysterious repairman. Yeah. And Crispin Glover, who played George McFly as the one-armed bellhop. Very bizarre role.
I loved his role. Honestly, I think his is my favorite part.
If there was any saving grace, it was that fucking character.
He is, to this movie, what Daniel Stern was to Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Let's just set this movie on fire.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
It was like at that point, the movie was already doused in lighter fluid. It's like, we got a match. Let's just let it burn.
Let's just see what happens.
You know what, Crispin? Do your thing.
Yep.
This is an homage to the raunchy comedies of the 1980s, such as Porky's, and the gross-out comedies of the 90s and 2000s, such as American Pie and Something About Mary. It's almost like they were put in a blender and then crossed Back to the Future. Stars, as we said, John Cusack, Rob Corddry, Craig Robinson, as a trio of middle-aged nitwits. Clark Duke plays Cusack's nephew. They are all on a life journey to rock bottom, when they travel to a mountain resort to get some strange and imbibe on every substance they can get their hands on. The four dudes avail themselves of the titular hot tub, which sends them back to 1986. Everybody else, they look like their teenage selves, except for Duke, who wasn't born yet. This puts them into an ethical crisis. Do they labor to keep the timeline intact or attempt to improve on their middling lives? The men face an assortment of disgusting obstacles along the way, and that's what I got. So I'm curious to hear what your guys' thoughts are, then we'll finish with me.
Mm.
Tay?
All right. Never seen it before. I was upset that it wasn't streaming anywhere. I had to spend money on this.
$4?
Yes. Added the math. It was like about 4 cents a minute. I'm very sad about that. I'm actually not mad at the film, but you could tell very quickly they didn't give a shit about this film.
No.
Which still blows my mind that it cost $30 million to make. Because it's like, I was like, what? How does this...
Because they had to pay these actors to be in this movie.
Just John Cusack.
Well, that's what I was like, because no one else was really famous at all. It was just like, they're B-roll guys.
Yeah, these are B-roll Fozzies.
Yeah, and I was like, what is going on? And the whole time, this movie is actually... I like to bitch about it. It wasn't that bad. It was funny. It did what its job. I was not a big fan of it. But I did joke about it. I was just like, okay, yeah, not bad, not bad. It's like, God, this movie. It was like I was in waves. Like, the movie is fucking terrible. I'm like, oh, that was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are certain movies when, I can't remember who it was, but they said something about the hot tub time machine and the guy looks into the camera.
It's like it's some sort
Robinson.
Hot tub time machine.
At that point, I was like, I am checking out. And it was like,
he said the title.
Yeah. I was like, because they are 100% giving up on this.
That's how you know movies in deep trouble.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's Operation Dumbo Drop.
Yeah. I was like, they are done with this and I am cashing out. And I did. I kind of cashed out. It was like, and it was funny. And it was, I mean, there were funny lines. I think I'm just more in wow with this film, especially going like, you know, kind of watching them very close together with like our previous, like Terminator. It just, like, how did this hot tub time machine, how did everything come to fruition?
Yeah.
Who wrote the script? And then who was like, man, this script's pretty good. They handed it off to a friend. They're like, damn, dude, this script's pretty funny. Let's go to, like, whoever it is, Warner Brothers, and say they want to do it.
Yeah. Or
it might have been Lionsgate. I can't remember who did it. But yeah, it was like, let's take it over there. And someone was like, we need to green light this ASAP.
You know who would be great in this? John Cusack.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, what? I'm more enamored with, like, what? Like, and John Cusack, I told this to Trav earlier, that might have been the worst acting I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, he, I think, phoned this in from day one.
Do you blame him?
I'm curious, like, who has a naked picture of him eating a glizzy behind a fence with his dick through a hole? And it was like, I don't know what's happening. Like, someone's got something on John Cusack, and he had to do this film.
A glory hole glizzy.
A glory hole glizzy.
That's your username.
That's on Twitter right
yeah.
now.
No, I mean, that's just another movie besides gladiatory glizzies.
Glizzy gladiators.
Glizzy yeah. gladiators. And glory hole glizzy.
Glory hole glizzy.
Glizzy Adams.
Oh, my God.
Okay, anyway.
Side note, I would like to point out, it took 15 years to get Mad Max Fury Road made. It took 15 years for George Miller to get that script made.
And this is,
FYI.
And we've had two hot tub high machines before that. Yeah, in that time period.
And how many American Pies?
Yeah, oh, God, 17.
Yeah, and I mean, like, the Glory Mile, Stifler's Mom, Band Camp 2. Not that I've seen them all.
But and I guess that's my whole thing. When you said how much it cost, I was like, because it would make more sense that they're like, hey, we're on like a $9 million budget.
We can crank this out for $10.
It's an hour and 39 minutes.
$36 million.
And I'm still don't understand how they were able to spend that much money.
Yeah.
I don't get it. But as much as I bitch and complain about it, I will say I have a very low rating for it, but I do understand it. Like, I get it.
It is what it is.
It was...
Self-aware.
Yeah. It was just what, like, they know what they're doing.
It has become self-aware.
Yeah. It was like, they knew they were making a shitty film. Mm-hmm. It was like, and they thought, hey, this might catch on like American Pie. We might make a couple of them.
Yeah.
And they did. But yeah, they totally went off of the 80s when they went off the late 90s, early 2000 films.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not for me. I can honestly say I will not be rewatching this. And that 48-hour rental period, it over. And it was like, it over.
It's done.
And I ain't going to revisit it.
Did you count, like, that down and then cheer when it was
Four. Yeah. And my girlfriend did say, she was like, oh, I've seen this in theaters. And I questioned a lot of things. And she watched it with me and she was like, yeah, I don't remember that. I'm like, well, it was like, yeah. It was just like, I was like, you were young. You didn't know what was going
2010
on.
2010 was like a rough year for everybody collectively. I think just like, this just was a part of the zeitgeist that we just didn't need to remember.
Yeah.
We'd all given up by that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somewhere someone had all given up that we all saw this in theater enough for it to gross $64 million.
That's so fucked up.
$64 million worth of people said, you know, a time traveling hot tub.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're in. And
well, the title does it for you.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, I know I'm getting.
It's like snakes on a plane.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, it went through the whole, we're back in the future, basically, you know, and they went through the steps and everything. And there were some funny lines, but yeah, if I was giving that a rating, oh my God, and I'm going to be an asshole here, but I mean, that might be like a 4 for me, 4.5. And it was like, because it did have a couple of funny lines. I did like one of the main characters when there's some lines that, okay, I've seen some TV shows recently that have been edited for the 2022 culture. But there were a couple scenes where I was like, I don't know if you can still do that.
Nope.
But because I guess I had paid for it.
It's amazing how quickly this movie has aged poorly.
Oh, exactly. Oh, and so I was like, ways. Yeah, it was so like, it's like, oh, you have to suck his dick. And I was like, what is happening right now? And then all the lines left to it, and even the aftermath where he was clearly glizzied. And I was like, but it was just that was
the Karate Kid one villain, too, that made him do that. That had the revolver that was like, go ahead and do this.
Ralph Macchio?
No.
Johnny.
Yeah. Johnny. Yeah.
Put him in a body bag.
Yeah. I didn't know that. But anyway, 4.5 for me. And please, God, don't make me watch Time Machine 2 or Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Yes. Trabby.
Yeah, about the same, Tay. I would give it I think just a solid 4. But it's weird because at the time, and even watching it now, I kind of liked it just because I saw this in theaters, knowing it was called Hot Tub Time Machine, knowing going in,
knowing
going in that I was like, man, this is going to be awful. But honestly, like, you know, whatever, Friday night. But going in with that, like, level of spectacle, I know what I'm going to see. Like, yeah. A willing suspension of disbelief. Like, all right, this is going to suck.
Yeah.
Rob Corddry, I thought, was hilarious in this. Not all the time, because he was kind of a one-note guy. But the things I did like about this is Craig Robinson playing Black Eyed Peas near the end. That, yeah. Let's get it started.
That was cool, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Rob Corddry at the end being like, oh, I'm going to make Motley Lou and playing Home okay. Sweet Home.
Okay, the very so ending, yes, that was kind of cool, yeah.
The things, and honestly, what I liked about that, there was a show back in like 2002, 2003 called Do-Over, where this guy gets shocked and back into his like 80s teenage, like 15-year-old brain. And he goes in, he's like, oh shit, I remember all these different milestones from my childhood now, and I can make another choice. I can go back now with the knowledge I have currently.
Yeah.
And he 100% straight up steals at a talent show. What something unpredictable, the Green Day song?
Oh yeah,
good
yeah.
It's good riddance. Yeah.
What's the name of that song?
Good riddance.
Good riddance.
Good riddance. Mm-hmm. He steals that song in a talent show and takes off, and everybody's like, "Holy shit, this is really great! They loved it in the '80s." That's they basically stole that concept and used it in this.
Yeah,
I fucking loved it. I was like, "This is great."
I love it so much. But your kids are gonna love it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Lugal did make me fucking laugh. Lugal, mm-hmm. Google is Lugal Maps. Mm-hmm. It's like, what?
And I think I remember it. Like, I watched the unrated version of this movie. The kid Clark, the nephew,
Dude Clark.
I remember Clark, in theaters, Sergeant, like them, like, you know, his mom and who he realizes Rob Corddry is his dad, spoiler alert, them having sex, and then they stop and he disappears. I remember in theaters, at least, is them starting again and then him pulling out and like the guy disappears and then he comes back and he disappears and he comes back and he's just watching. He's like, this is amazing. I thought I remember seeing that in theaters, but I watched the unrated version. Didn't see it.
Oh.
I guess I didn't have it. Like,
also vaguely remember that. Maybe that's Berenstain.
A deleted scene or something.
Maybe. Yeah.
But I remember him actively being like, we're having sex. We're not having sex. We're having sex. We're not having sex. And the kid like blinking in and out of existence.
This is a movie where I feel like the bloopers and the deleted scenes would be worth watching on the DVD.
That might be
better than the film.
And actually, Taylor and I were talking about this on the way here, is that this was back in the DVD heyday, because you never get to watch special features anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't even buy Blu-rays or DVDs. They just watch the streaming movie and they go about their day. Sometimes they'll release deleted scenes on YouTube or something. But you don't get any of those in-depth, like, Peter Jackson, Lord of the Rings.
I would love if Netflix offered, like, a commentary track or deleted scenes.
Absolutely.
No.
Like, if I could go back to seeing, like, DVD features and Netflix streaming.
I'm all about that.
It'd be amazing.
So I thought Rob Corddry was funny. I love Craig Robinson in it as well. Crispin Glover, like, I remember them really hoping and being like, oh my god, this guy's about to lose his arm. Oh,
that shit. Was funny.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a good film. Like, it gives nods to old, like, you know, ski patrol movies of the 80s.
Yeah.
It also, Chevy Chase is very heavy-handed in his Don Knotts Pleasantville persona.
Yes.
Being like, oh man, the remote's not working. You can't eat that. That's Ralphie's apple pie. You're not supposed to be doing that.
You know what we didn't talk about yet, though? Sebastian Stan.
Winter Soldier
is the bad guy.
I'd get to be the first one. Ironically, he's anti-communist.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
That's some very real irony for you.
Is that fucking commie?
Yeah.
He looks so young.
Also, I can't let this go by. Lizzie Kaplan is in this movie. I fucking love Lizzie Kaplan as the John Cusack's love interest.
Mm-hmm.
She has nothing to do.
Yeah. No.
Like, she just shows up. She's like, hey, you're real cute. I'm going to start talking to you about an ice luge. You're like, oh, okay. And then
he's fucking weird.
Yeah. And shit. Then she shows up later like, hey, you're just laying out here in the snow, are you? I'm going to lay down with you. We're going to go break into a house and then we're going to have a drink and then get to know each other in an hour and decide.
Hold on. You're telling me that this movie doesn't have a lot of like plot or forethought or like any actual sense to it?
Just the chemistry alone didn't get me. And then as she's getting on the bus to leave, she's like, maybe our paths will cross again. I'm like, oh, this is serendipity. With fucking Kate Beckinsale and who else? John Cusack.
It's very meta.
Yeah. I was getting a lot of that. And so, yeah. I think I said
fuck you out loud during that scene.
Fuck you.
To the screen.
I mean, I love Serendipity, but this one was, and I love Lizzie Kaplan, but this didn't work for me.
Yeah.
My favorite people were not the main star. Yeah. Right. Craig Robinson and Rob Corddry.
My favorite people were in a different movie altogether.
So where do you rate this?
Yeah, I'd give it a solid 4. 4? I've seen it before. I've seen it now. I don't need to see it for another 10 or 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I saw it in theaters in 2010, and I saw it now. And yeah, you're right. I think 12 years, it aged so poorly that I think in another 12 years, this movie might be a 1 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it had moments. It had some like shining stars where like I kind of chuckled out loud to myself. Like Rob Corddry's genuinely kind of funny when he's not being like a terrible person. They completely just ignore the time travel aspect to it. Like somehow it's magical time travel, but it's also like they can influence things. It's like they look like themselves when they were that age, but at the same time,
like Quantum Leap.
Yeah, it's like Quantum Leap, but they actually have the ability to change the timeline, and they just fucking run with it. Like, they give up on any sort of, like, time continuity. Just
I like that they break the rules, though. I'm tired of those, like, movies where they're like, oh, we have to make everything exactly the same.
Right. Yeah, they're like, we're living in a time travel movie, and we're not going to care about actually following any of the rules. Like, Rob Corddry just projectile vomiting on the squirrel. And then that squirrel coming back later to mess up the catch in the football game.
Yeah.
How? But you know what? All right. They just had to somehow prove in the movie that like they could affect the timeline despite Chevy Chase just, you know, blatantly just being like, don't go changing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, if I were someone who is somewhere I shouldn't be, I wouldn't change anything.
Man, that was so spot on calling him Don Knotts in Pleasantville.
That is a really good callback.
Well, there was Duke Clark or Clark Duke, whoever the guy is, the actor.
Craig Robinson.
The nephew. Yeah, the nephew.
Yeah.
So there was a scene where, like, once again, I don't know, Chevy shows up trying to give some whatever. And he's like, man, you're really like no help to me at all. Okay, whatever. And then he fades away. And he's like, what? Or he didn't answer a question. He's like, you know, man, you're a real dick. And just walks off. And I'm like, I wonder if that was like ad-libbed. Because, you know, Chevy's known to be a big dick.
Huge
and it was like,
dick,
so yeah. I wonder if it was like that was just an ad-lib thing that he just added in there. Because it was like, if there wasn't really a response back to Chevy, I'm like, damn, that was kind of cool.
Yeah. This makes me really concerned to go back and revisit some of the movies that I really enjoyed in that time period.
Yeah.
Another movie that Clark Duke was in called Sex Drive. Did you ever see Sex Drive?
Oh, I saw it.
I'm worried that I go back because I really enjoyed that movie when it came out.
So did I.
Now I think if I go back, I would not enjoy it. That's the one with it's got Seth Green as an Amish man.
Yeah. It's got the gal from Silicon Valley. I don't know her name, but she was the main almost love interest in Silicon Valley.
Uh-huh.
Not love interest, but that's the only other thing I've.
That's a movie we should go back and revisit. I don't know where you would fit that one in, but.
But I mean, it's like before you had my attention, now you have my interest. Is that right? Yeah. Well, Seth Green,
as an Amish. Oh, he's one of the best characters. No, but this movie just it had some moments of like levity, but it was just so bad. It just did not, like you said. I was watching this movie and I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah, I was more mad than anything.
It was cheap and it was just like not funny and it was just low hanging fruit. I don't know, but like soundtrack was great. It seemed like some writer was just like trying to relive their glory days.
Yeah.
And they're like, what if I could go back? I'm going to write a movie about this and we're going to cast John Cusack.
with a hot tub full of energy drink.
If you want to see a better movie that's in the same humor vein that has nothing to do with time travel, just watch Road Trip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is the same exact movie, but better.
Yeah.
And funny.
Man. I mean, really, I've always debated, like, I haven't given many movies something below half a star. It's like Holmes and Watson with Will Ferrell is one thing.
Oh,
I've never seen it.
0 stars.
That I saw the first, we recently on a podcast, or maybe it was like one of our breaks, I talked about it. I put it on and I legit saw them as like the kids. And I was like, hey, what is this film? I might want to watch this. And we had it on. And then I realized it was that. And I was like, we going to change this. It was like, because I can already tell it's going to suck.
Yeah.
And I've never seen it.
And it's like, I think below half a star, my rating will be just like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. No stars. Just
fuck you out of 10.
Fuck you.
Yeah. It's like, what does this get? This is a fuck you.
Yeah. You owe me something, Huzak. You owe me something.
4 cents a minute.
Yeah.
I want my money back.
No, I want my money back, you bitch. I give
this movie 3 out of 10.
3 out of 10.
Yeah.
3 out of 10.
Three.
Okay. So, yeah, I have that. It's like, this is one of those combos that looks great on paper and doesn't pan out. I mean, it's Porky's, it's Caddyshack, it's Meatballs, it's Back to the Future, it's Bill and Ted, it's a bunch of, like, I mean, it's American Pie.
But the endearing thing about those movies is the characters are all, like, 19, 20, 21. Like, they're misfits.
Yeah.
These fucks are 40 years old.
Yeah, this is the Hangover mixed in. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they're pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, it must sound good on paper. It probably sounded good in a pitch meeting, like at some studio. Doesn't play out in the actual movie.
Yeah.
The end result sucks.
I was so happy this was less than like 2 hours.
Yeah.
It was like an hour 39, I think.
Oh, yeah.
That was the bad thing about that Father of the Bride remake, was it was like, this might have been passable if it had been a lot shorter.
If it wasn't 2 hours long.
Yeah. Huh. It's like, if this is a foregone conclusion. You watch Father of the Bride, you know what's going to happen. They're going to get married. It's be happily ever after.
It's a foreskin conclusion. Got Sean.
So the thing of it is,
why? Like,
that this movie, like, there's an ethical conundrum in all of this. Of like,
speaking of the mic,
there's an ethical conundrum of like, you know, they face of like, do they change the future or do they try to fight and leave things the way they are? It's like the ethical, like the time travel prime directive.
Right. It's like they acknowledge the ethical conundrum and then they just fucking smashed it in the face and they just completely ignored it.
Yeah. And so it's like you could, a good screenwriter could play with some interesting things there. And, you know, this movie's too stupid to do any of that.
Did we decide to watch First Contact?
Yes.
Yes.
It is one of our films?
Yes. Spoilers.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. And you get a weird cameo, Crispin Glover, who's George McFly, as the one-armed bellhop. Just strange.
Another time traveler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
probably why they included him.
Todd, you don't have to say strange when you say Crispin Glover. Like,
synonymous.
People that know should know.
Yeah. And but before you said that, I have written down here, it's like Lizzie Kaplan's love interest is cooler than Cusack's character or this movie deserves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
God.
She's a notch.
I love her so much. She was in Mean Girls, but I think when I discovered her, she was doing True Blood. I was like, oh, yes. And she was in Cloverfield after that. I love her as an actor. But yeah, it was just a whole lot of nothing for her to do in this.
It's like I watched a movie, God bless. Another one of the worst movies I've seen since I started reviewing movies. John Cena plays a smoke jumper who has to take care of a bunch of toddlers for the weekend. And they all are like pooping their pants and he has to change
his
diaper.
He's a firefighter,
puts on a hazmat suit and changes dirty diaper. Judy Greer is a love interest in that. And her character is like, you belong in a better movie. You're the smartest person. You're smarter than all these characters combined. So
that sounds like the worst Hollywood bullshit I've ever heard.
Oh,
yes. It's Judy Greer.
I want to watch it right now.
What else is she in?
She is in a ton of stuff. If you saw the Halloween remake with Jamie Lee Curtis, she's the daughter in that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's in Arrested Development. She is the crazy secretary.
She's Scott Lang's ex-wife in Ant-Man. Yeah.
She's
seen her a bunch of shit.
She is the ex-wife in Jurassic World. Oh. She's the ex-wife in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
She was in The Wedding Planner because she was the other planner
J-Lo. She's the best friend in a lot of movies.
Yep.
She gets stuck with, I think she was the best friend in maybe 13 Going on 30.
Hmm.
I think.
13 Going on 30.
No, the antagonist in that.
Is she? Okay.
She was the frenemy.
Okay.
She was also, I think, in What Women Want with Mel Gibson. Mm-hmm. She was the gal that worked at his place that was, like, you know, in danger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was also in Halloween Kills.
Mm. Yeah, she was a daughter in both of those.
Yeah, I haven't. Is that still on HBO? I waited, and I maybe waited too long to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sean?
I don't know.
I'll go fuck myself then.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
But, and I do have here, I enjoyed Sebastian Stan as an anti-commie, broed out frat boy who is out to destroy our heroes. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
He did have a lot of fun.
Perfect.
For me, it's 4 out of 10. It is a subpar movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had so never seen four, it all the
four,
way through.
4, 4, 3.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So yeah, yeah. This is not a great movie.
And they made a 2.
And they made a 2.
Got greenlighted.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did they make a 3?
It grossed like over double what it made.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
They were thinking maybe we have another Morbius.
Yeah, it's Morbin time.
It's Morbin time.
Yeah.
Like maybe this will.
It's Tubbin time.
Grow in the telling.
But the problem was Morbius flopped in real time.
Yes. Like,
it flopped when it came out. This was a success.
Mm-hmm.
It was a blockbuster.
Yeah. My God.
2010. Wild times.
Yeah. What a time to be alive.
How far we've come.
Yeah, exactly. So it's been another episode of Cinema Vino. And we thank you all very much for coming along with us for the hot tub time machine adventure.
Yeah.
It's like some kind of hot tub time machine.
Oh, my God.
It's bigger on the inside.
Beso del Sol, Sangria Rosé, not bad. Again, get it cold, drink it by a pool, it'll serve its function. It's cheap, and it is liquid, so there's that.
Yeah.
But we thank you guys very much, and we will see you guys next time. We've got Taylor Holmes, Travis Budd.
Hey, hoy.
And Sean Jordan.
Hi.
My name is Todd.
Get him.
And I will see you guys next time. You can listen, rate, and subscribe to Cinema Vino on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you choose to get your podcast. Our website is cinemavino.net, and reviews of these movies can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.